written from the 13th chapter of the Gospel of Matthew, beginning at verse number 24. Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servants of the householder came and said unto him, 'Sir, didst not thou sow good seed in thy field? From whence then hath it tares?' He said unto them, 'An enemy hath done this.' The servants said unto him, 'Wilt thou then that we go and gather them up?' But he said, 'Nay, lest while you gather up the tares, you root up also the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. And in the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, gather you together first the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn.'" Now turn into Revelation chapter 2, beginning at verse number 8. "And unto the angel of the church in Smyrna write, these things saith the first and the last." Now this is how he introduces himself to this church. "These things saith the first and the last, which was dead and is alive. I know thy works, and tribulation and poverty, but thou art rich, and I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan. Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that you may be tried, and you shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death." Now, if you'll notice, we are talking tonight about the church at Smyrna. Last night, the church at Ephesus represented a period of time from 70 A.D. until 170 A.D. Now, the church at Smyrna represents the period of time from 170 A.D. to 312 A.D. Smyrna was 40 miles from Ephesus. It was a very prosperous city. It's a very interesting thing to know about the word Smyrna. Now, we have read in the New Testament concerning the word myrrh. And the original teaches us that in the beginning, the original word was Smyrna. The word myrrh comes from the word Smyrna, and it is used 3 times in the New Testament. It's used 3 times in the New Testament. And the word myrrh has to do with embalming. It has to do with suffering. It has to do with death. You remember the first time it was mentioned was at the birth of Jesus, when the wise men came to present gifts unto the newfound king. They brought frankincense, gold, and myrrh. Now, gold represents the deity of our Lord, and the myrrh that they brought testified of the sufferings of Christ, that he should suffer to redeem a lost and dying world. Number 2, the next time it was mentioned was at the crucifixion of Christ. The Bible said that they brought him wine mingled with myrrh for him to drink to deaden the pain, but yet the Scripture said he refused it. Number 3, at his death, when he died, Nicodemus and Joseph of Arimathea, they came and took his body and wrapped it in long linen cloth, and in the folds of the cloth they put the myrrh. They wanted to embalm the body of Jesus Christ. And as I have tried to explain to you concerning the word myrrh, it comes from Smyrna. Now, the church at Smyrna was known as the persecuted church. The church that was persecuted almost beyond measure. There's some things that is very interesting about this church. In Smyrna, mostly Jews occupied the city. They were friendly to Rome. They were against Christianity. And the first persecution of the church was fostered by the Jews. The Jews. Now, if you'll note carefully some things about this wonderful church, as I read about this church, it stirs me and it makes me to know and to realize that some people can have the reality of God and they can have such a hold on God and they can have such unshakable faith until persecution and even death cannot separate them from the love of God that we have found in Jesus Christ. Now, there's some things about this church. Some things about this church that I want you to note. And first of all, I want you to note why this church was persecuted. As I studied the church last night of Ephesus and the nine great things that we talked about that that church possessed, then when it came down to the close of the letter, Jesus Christ uttered a complaint against that church. He said, I have somewhat against you. With all the good features that you have, with all the good traits that you have, yet there's one thing that I'm complaining to you about, and that is this. You have lost your first love. But as I read over and over again today, the church at Smyrna, there was nothing wrong with that church. Now, you read that carefully, you'll not find one complaint that Jesus Christ registered against that church. He commended them, though it was a persecuted church. And when I say a persecuted church, they were persecuted to the extent that many of the saints in that church had to give their lives because they had chosen the pathway to Jesus Christ and they were walking in the pathway of righteousness and holiness. Now let me notice tonight, God encouraged this church. He commends this church. To make a long story short, He bragged on this church. Hallelujah. Now, why was this church persecuted? Number one, there was a program in that city that they worshiped God and goddesses in the temple. They worshiped idols. They worshiped false gods. But the saints in the church at Smyrna, they stood up against everything that was wrong. They worshiped the true God in spirit and in truth. And they were persecuted by people who had a form of godliness. They worshiped idols and they worshiped in the temple. But yet they did not know the true and the living God in the power of the Holy Ghost. They just didn't know the true God. And because they would not conform to these false idols and these false ways of worship, then they were persecuted. While there was gods everywhere, and everything that they did in Smyrna was built around cults. And this may seem a strange thing to say, but I'm going to point out something to you here in this lesson tonight that is noteworthy. Now you listen. Even in Smyrna, way back hundreds of years ago, they were organized into what we call guilds. It was the same principle of a union. And unless the members in the working world would conform to worshiping Caesar and to worshiping idols and worshiping true gods, they got a black mark by their name. They were counted as traitors to the government. The same spirit that existed back there is going to come into full bloom over here when men are going to have to pay tribute to the man of sin, to the Antichrist. And unless they do, they cannot buy or sell. You hear me tonight? The same spirit that existed hundreds of years ago is going to raise its ugly head again. And I want to tell you right now, You'd better get ready for the coming of Jesus Christ. He is coming. The Bible said He was coming. I believe He's coming. The prophet said He was coming. The signs of the times tells me that He's coming. We must get ready. We must get ready. I said, we must get ready. With Noah, it was to get into the ark. With Lot and his family, it was to come out of Sodom. With the church, it's to go up in the rapture. Hallelujah. Oh, I thank God for that tonight. Persecuted. The social activities and the world of commerce and trade and jobs and everything. It reached the place where that they could not even get a job. I'm going to point out something else to you. The Lord said, I know how poor you are, but yet you're rich. You know, we have misjudged riches, my friends. We think because a man has a bank account and a fine home and all of these things that he's a rich man. But some of the richest men in this world are the poorest men that you've ever seen in all of your life. And some of the poorest people in this world, relative to material things, are the richest people that you've ever laid your two eyes on tonight. Hallelujah. Let me tell you, you can be rich without having money. You can be rich without having a fine home and fine cars. You can be rich. You can be rich. Thank God. And I'm glad tonight the Lord said, I know how poor you are, but yet you're rich. You're rich. You're rich. You're rich. Now, they had certain days set aside to worship. The Christians would not worship Jesus with other gods. I want to show you something here. Now, that's why they were persecuted. The second thought is, the center of Caesar worship. The center of Caesar worship was in all of the eastern part of the Roman Empire. At that time, the Roman Empire ruled over the known civilized world. You know, Jesus did not teach to worship Caesar. You know what He taught? He said, render unto Caesar that which is Caesar's, and unto God that which is God's. We've got to pay tribute to our country, love our leaders, and pray for our leaders. But we are not to worship any man in this world. Amen? But they had Caesar worship. Now, at first, it was on your own free will. Later, it became compulsory. You had to do that. Now, I want to show you how the devil has slipped a lot of things over on a lot of people. Now, they finally got to the place where they said, now, we're going to make it easy for you. You know, the devil will tell you that. So now, we're going to make it real easy for you to worship Caesar, and it won't interfere with your worship to Jesus Christ. Now, this is what they said. They said, now, you take a little pinch of incense, just a little pinch of incense, and confess that Caesar is the Lord. Then you go on and you worship your God, and we'll worship ours, but all we want you to do is to confess that Caesar is the Lord. The Christians and the church at Smyrna refuse to do that. I refuse to do that tonight. No earthly man is Jesus Christ in this world. No earthly man is my object of worship in this world tonight. But the spirit of the Roman Empire is going to be revived just as sure as I'm giving you this lesson here tonight. It's on its way right now. Compromise. Compromise. Take a pinch of incense and confess that Caesar is the Lord. Then after that, you go your way and worship any god or goddess that you might want to worship. But praise God, the Christians would not do that. And when they refused to worship Caesar and to acknowledge Him as the Lord, they called them traitors to Caesar and to the government. Let me tell you, friend, there is one true God, and His name is none other than Jesus Christ. His glory we shall not give to another, We shall in no wise have any graven images. We shall not bow down to images. We shall not worship nor praise false gods, but we're to worship and praise and magnify Him that is the first and the last, that was dead but now is alive forevermore. That's the one we're to worship. That's the one we're to worship. The Christians wouldn't do it. The Christians wouldn't do it. Now, there's three things that God had to say about this church. Now, before I enlarge more upon that thought, let me drop another thought in your mind. You know, they had to prove that they had worshipped in the temple of the false gods. They had to prove that. In other words, to be on the social register, they had to prove that they had worshipped in the temple. To get a job, they had to prove that they had worshipped in the temple. The head of the temple, or whoever kept the records at the temple, had to give them a certificate that they had worshipped in the temple. Then that was the password. They could get a job. They would be recognized in the social standing of that time. The same spirit down here. You've got to have his mark, his name, or his number. If not, you'll not be able to buy or sell. You see, it's going to be a repeat in the end down here of what the church had to fight over here in this period of time. You hear me, my friend, as I talk to you tonight. And people are so unconcerned and they're so lax about their souls. It seems that they're going to live on this earth forever. They'll never need anything else. And they're going right on as if there was nothing ever going to happen. Well, I'm going to tell you right now, in a day and hour that you think not, behold, the Son of Man coming. He's going to come when men are least expecting Him to come. I preached and I prayed and I fasted. I've read my Bible. My God, I'd like to have a revival that I can see 9,000 get the Holy Ghost. Praise God. Hallelujah. Because I know the Bible teaches me that this thing is coming. This thing is coming. And I'm trying to warn people. They had to prove that they had worshipped in the temple or at the shrine of the god or goddesses. They had to have a certificate. The end time is the same spirit. The end time is the same spirit. The Bible said, relative to this man of sin, the Bible said the whole world wondered after him and said, who is able to make war with him? I know one that's able to make war with him. He's the first and the last. He was dead, but now he's alive forevermore. Hallelujah. Now there's three things that the Lord said about that church. I know thy tribulation. Number one, I know thy tribulation. Now, every time the Bible says tribulation, it does not mean the great tribulation. Paul in his ministry had many tribulations. Now, in this sense, the word tribulation means pressure. I know thy pressure. Maybe the neighbors put pressure on this church member. Now, why don't you come on? Take a pinch of this incense and just recognize that Caesar is the Lord. Just make a confession with your mouth and say that Caesar is the Lord. And then go on about your business. Worship this Jesus if you want to. But in order to have your social standing upheld and in order to get a good job, just come along with the crowd and take this pinch of incense and confess that Caesar is the Lord. And then you won't lose anything and everything will be all right. But they remembered what the Spirit has said to the churches. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. No graven images that's made out of wood or stone. Whatever the case might be, I cannot worship angels. I cannot worship dead saints. I cannot pray to dead saints. But I pray to Him that's alive forevermore. The one that's able to answer our prayers. That's the spirit of this age. It makes no difference. Just come on and join the crowd. It's all right. Just join up with us now. And the lady told me, she said, it makes no difference. Said, we all going to the same place. I said, uh-uh. I said, we're all not going to the same place. She said, it's kind of like going to Chicago. There's different routes that leads to Chicago. I said, we're not going to Chicago. I said, we're going to the New Jerusalem. Hallelujah. And there's only one way that leads to that city. And Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. And no man cometh unto the Father but by me. They just wouldn't yield. They just wouldn't yield. Now, three things about the church. I know thy pressure. I know thy pressure. You know, the saints are under pressure. The outside pressure. The outside pressure of the world. We have pressure on the outside. This reminds me, if a man was sentenced to death, and they'd place a big rock upon this man and just let it stay there. After a while, the pressure of this rock would just pressure the life out of him. It reminds me of millstones. When they put in the wheat and these millstones grind together with pressure, and after a while, the wheat is ground into fine flour. It reminds me of the pressure that's put upon grapes, and from the grapes comes the fine juices. It's pressure. It's pressure. But the Bible said, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. If I didn't believe that tonight, I'd have quit preaching a long time ago. But I believe that which we possess tonight is greater than anything that can ever come against us. I believe that tonight. Pressure. Pressure to crush you. Now he said, I know how poor you are. I recognize that. I know how poor you are. But he said, you're rich. Well, those people didn't have enough money to buy half a dozen songbooks. When you say that a church is rich, you expect to see the minister, a dignified man, that doesn't preach like we Pentecostals. You expect to see a dignified congregation that will go to church and look like they swallowed a broomstick. So dignified and so icy cold. You'd expect everything to be in order, with never an amen or anything to go along with worship. That's what you would call a rich church. But I want to tell you, I'd rather be rich in other things. I'd rather be rich in the things of God than to have the riches of this world tonight. Oh, the Lord said, I know your pressure. I know your tribulation. I know how poor you are. I know that they've cut you off from jobs and from a social standing. But he said, remember, I am he that was dead, but now I'm alive forevermore. And I'm the first and the last. And I'll be with you in your time of pressure. I'll be with you in your time of tribulation. I'll be with you. I'll be with you. Hallelujah. Oh, I know, I know. They were the poorest of the poorest. They were on the verge of being beggars. It was just that bad. He said, I know the blasphemy. And that word in this sense means slander. I know they've slandered your name. I know that tribulation. I know how poor you are. I know how they've slandered you. I know all about that. I know all about that. You know why he knew about that? Did you ever stop to think of why he understood this church? You know, the Christ I'm preaching about tonight, I think that's why he introduced himself as he did. That I'm the first and I'm the last. And I understand all of these things. You know why he understood? He went through something relative to what they went through. The Scripture said that he was tempted in all points as we are, but yet without sin. The Scripture said when Jesus was walking along one time and somebody was anxious to follow him. Now Jesus said, remember, the foxes have holes, the birds of the air, they have nests. But the Son of Man hath no place to lay his head. In other words, he was saying, now if you intend to follow me expecting a Butterest mattress every night, I'm going to tell you I can't promise you that because I don't have that for myself. He said, I don't even have a place to lay my head. He said, the foxes are better off than I am. He said, the birds of the air are better off than I am. He said, I can't promise you a thing. But he said, if you want to follow me, follow me. That's why Jesus could understand this church. That's why he could understand what was going on in this church. Because of the fact he understood their slander. They'd been slandered. He understood that. He understood all of these things, their tribulation, their pressure, and because they were poor. He understood all of that. Listen, friends, Rome was burned and the Christians were accused of doing that. Hundreds were fed to the lions. They were hanged on forests of crosses. All of these things. And then, all at once in the letter that I read tonight, the Lord said, worse things are yet to come. You're going to have tribulation for 10 days. The Fox Book of Martyrs teaches us that the Roman Empire persecuted the church, severe persecutions for 10 different times. Listen, that didn't simply mean 10 days. That meant a period of time. And the Roman Empire persecuted the church 10 times or 10 days. But I want you to note, here's something, my friends. Not only did they have all of these things against them, blasphemy and pressure and all the things that they had against them, that was their liabilities. Now let's go to their assets. You know, I like to talk about assets. I don't have much to talk about as far as I'm personally concerned, but I like to talk about the assets of the Christian. Now he said, you're rich. How in the world could the Lord say you're poor, but yet you're rich? They were in possession of a Savior. I know the blasphemy. I know all of these things. I understand all of these things. Because I've walked the path that you're walking right now. I understand. You know, there's one thing some people don't understand. But our Lord understands. I heard one time of a lady that lost her child. She only had one, and she lost it in death. And the lady came to her house. She didn't have any children. And consequently, she had never lost a child. And she sat down to try to sympathize and to offer her deepest regrets for the loss of this child, this precious woman. When she left out, she didn't leave too much consolation. Because she'd never been through that. But you know, later on, there was a lady that came to her house and said, listen. Said, there's a lot of toys that stacked away in my closet that's never used anymore. There's a little rocking chair that sits out here that is never used anymore. I had a child just like you did, but I lost it. And I understand. That's the difference. When you go through something, you can understand when somebody else goes through something. But until you've been through it, you don't quite understand exactly what the other party is going through. That's why Jesus could say, I understand what you're going through. I have walked the same pathway that you have walked. I've gone through the same things that you've gone through. I've been rejected and I've been slandered and they spit in my face and they nailed me to a cross and they did all of these mighty awful things to me, and I suffered. They put a crown of thorns on my brow, and I was cast out of the city. I understand, because I'm the first and I'm the last. He was telling them, I'll be with you in the beginning, and I'll be with you in the end. And hallelujah. All you've got to do is to overcome and be faithful unto death, and I'll give you a crown of life. And listen, it wasn't long, and I have some statements I want to read here tonight. It wasn't long until they called the pastor of the church at Smyrna on the carpet. I want to read something to you tonight, and I read this all afresh today. It stirred my heart. The pastor of the church, his name was Polycarp. History teaches us that he had to make a choice. You know, he was a pastor of that church. He was a leader of that flock. He had to make a choice. He had to say that Caesar was the Lord. He had to make that confession. Or either put his life on the line. And you know what he done? He refused to say that Caesar was the Lord. He said, Jesus is the Lord. That's what he said. That's what he said. You know, the spirit now is this. Let everybody come to the same altar. Let everybody believe what they want to believe and worship God any way they want to and have as many gods as they want. But let everybody come together. Everybody worship together. They say that's the way to have unity. If I've got to compromise the truth to have unity, I won't have unity. How can two walk together except they be agreed? How can a child of light have fellowship with a child of darkness? How can two walk together except they be agreed? We often look at the thought of being unequally yoked together. We've never preached nothing but marriage on that. Brother, that means a whole lot more than getting married. It just means what it says. I can't yoke up with an unbelieving preacher and let him preach against the virgin birth of the Son of God and tell me that the blood of Jesus Christ does not mean anything at all, and let me preach that it means something and believe in the virgin birth of the Son of God. That's yoking myself up with an unbeliever, and I refuse to do it. I'm going to die shouting to the world that Jesus Christ is the Lord. Hallelujah. That He is the everlasting Father and the Prince of Peace. Now, the pastor had to make a choice. He refused to say that Caesar was Lord. He said, Jesus is the Lord. Now notice, the governor said, swear. I will set thee at liberty. Reproach Christ. Polycarp said, 86 years have I served him, and he never did me harm. How then can I blaspheme my King, my Savior? He'd known him 86 years. Since thou art vainly urging that I should swear by the fortune of Caesar, and pretendest not to know who and what I am, hear me. I am a Christian. Hear me, Polycarp said. I am a Christian. The governor said, I have wild beasts at hand. To these will I cast thee, except thou change. I will cause thee to be consumed by fire, seeing thou despisest the wild beast, if thou wilt not change. Polycarp said, thou threatenest me with fire which burneth for an hour, and after a little is extinguished. But thou art ignorant of the fire of the coming judgment, and of eternal punishment reserved for the ungodly. But why tarriest thou? Bring forth what thy wilt. In other words, I'm ready. I'm ready. Bring forth your wild beast. Get your wood and your fire. Get it all together. I'll never say that Caesar is the Lord, but Jesus is the Lord. Then they gathered the wood and the fire. And this is what Polycarp said. I want to keep this as long as I can read. I want to keep this before me. I had this filed away. Everything that I have ever found that is good and I like, I filed it away. That's why I can't hardly get in my bedroom. I've just got things stacked everywhere. Every sermon I've ever preached, I know where I preached it. I've got the notes. I've got everything wrote down. If people would learn how to write, they wouldn't forget so many things. Polycarp said, he looked up to Jesus. He said, I thank Thee that Thou hast graciously thought me worthy of this day and of this hour, that I may receive a portion in the number of the martyrs in the cup of Thy Christ. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Let's praise God right now. Praise God right now. Let's praise God right now. Let's praise God right now. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Let's stand to our feet, everybody. Lift your hands. Praise God. Lift your hands and let's praise the Lord right now. Oh, let's praise Him right now. 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 Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, when they wondered how much longer will it be? How much longer will the pressure be? How much longer will we suffer slander? How much longer will we go without jobs and almost starving to death? The Lord said, I'm the first and I'm the last. I'll be with you. I'll go with you. I'll comfort your heart. Oh, they were rich. They possessed a Savior. They possessed a faith. They possessed the power of God that was able to keep them in the midst of tribulation. Oh, let's praise Him again right now. Let's praise Him again right now. Oh, let's praise Him. Let's praise Him. Let's praise Him. Praise God. 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 Sing it, everybody. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah.
I cannot.